America was born in large part by those seeking religious freedom. Tragically, around the world, religious freedom is still at risk in many places. Recently, Focus on the Family wrote this, quote, "Sadly, so many Christians are being persecuted all over the world, from Sudan, where Islamic extremists are attacking Christians, to the Indonesian government banning worship. Our brothers and sisters are mocked, thrown into jail, and even killed for following Christ and the Bible," end quote. Wendy Wright heads up Christian Freedom International. Their website is christianfreedom.org. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Wendy Wright joins us now to talk about the persecution of Christians. Wendy, thank you so much for joining us. All the best.
Well, thank you. I'm so pleased to be able to tell people about the plight of persecuted Christians and what we can do to help.
Well, first of all, statistically, what kind of number are we talking about? In other words, what percentage, or not percentage, but what's, let's say, you know, how many millions of people are at risk just because they're Christians all around the world?
Well, it's estimated about 360 million Christians around the world live in places of high persecution. So that means that at any time they can be facing, or even it's just a pervasive culture of persecution.
And that would mean that, you know, they might not get good jobs, they might not, you know, whatever. But in some cases, does it mean that they would be killed? I mean, are there any places where they'd be out and out killed for their faith?
Oh, there are a number of places. In fact, Nigeria, more Christians are killed every year in that one country than every other country combined where Christians are killed for their faith. Sadly, it is a reality in many countries that Christians will face, you know, the ultimate, which is martyrdom, and everything beyond that, from abuse, being jailed or imprisoned just simply for their faith, being tortured, and as you described, not being able to get jobs or an education, which really forces Christians then into extreme poverty. Their children then are born into that extreme poverty. Many of them are not able to get an education, and based on not because of the economic situation of the country, but because they are Christians and that they they're not allowed in various ways to rise above economically their situation. So how does that work? Well, in some countries, the your religion is listed on your government ID. So when a Christian goes for a job, and there may not be anything outwardly explicit saying that Christians will not get hired, but just simply handing over their ID, the employer is going to know that they're Christian, and they just simply won't get hired. And that even involves day laborers. In some countries like Egypt, Christians will tattoo a cross on their children's wrist. It's a way of identifying themselves as Christians. It's an ancient tradition. And then as they grow up and say, for example, a plumber goes to do a job in a home and extends his hand to shake hands, and then the homeowner sees the cross on his wrist and decides, no, we're not going to hire this person. Education is a really key.
Wait, can I interrupt you? Let me interrupt you real fast, if you don't mind. I'm so sorry. But my sister-in-law actually lived in Egypt and was kind of working behind the scenes in a missions type orientation or situation. And anyway, she said there was a time, and this is going back 20 years ago or whatever, when some people were on the rampage against the Christians. And for example, she said on the subways or in the trains, they would sometimes grab somebody's hand, a stranger's hand, pull that out to see if that cross was there, that tattooed cross that you're talking about of the Coptic Christians. And then if it was, they would spray mace in their face. I mean, that's just an anecdote, but this is something from the past, but, you know, it kind of gives an idea of this terrible, persecution you're talking about.
Right. There's a church that we're helping currently in a remote region of Bangladesh. Now, Bangladesh is majority Muslim, but this area of Bangladesh is majority Buddhist. And that includes the political leaders. So religion and politics are tightly entwined in many parts of the world. And in this small village, there were a number of families. They were Buddhist, but they came to Christ. And so they built a small church. And within a couple of months, there was a Buddhist monk who said, He would not come to the village. The village was dirty, was filthy, because these Christians were there and that church was there. This whipped up a fervor among the Buddhists in that village, and they destroyed the church. They beat the women and children, actually invading the homes in order to beat the women and children, and tried to kill the men. So we were able to get them to a safe house. We have several shelters in the region. And they stayed in our shelter for a number of months until our director was able to negotiate a return for them back to the village. But even though they've returned, they are not allowed to move about freely. So what this means is they can't go tend their crops in the field. They can't go and try and find day work, day labor. And so the pressure against them isn't as explicit as it was when the church was being attacked, but they're literally trying to starve them into submission to return back to Buddhism. So what Christian Freedom International has been doing is providing aid every month. We're feeding the church for every month for, it's been, gosh, I think about a year and a half now, to keep them alive and to relieve the pressure on them to revert back to Buddhism and really to strengthen them in their faith. In a village like that as well, you know, they're new Christians, so they don't have a deep knowledge of the faith and of the Bible, and no pastors are allowed into the region to train and teach them. So we are providing theological training for a young man from that church so that he can be the pastor in time.
Wow, so many challenges. It's just amazing. So there's a lot of places in this world where there's a cost to being a follower of Jesus.
Yes, a big cost. I'll mention regarding in that same country, blasphemy is against the law. So Christians who are converts, they've left Islam, they've left Buddhism, they get targeted by radical extremists and get accused of blasphemy. So right now, there's a gentleman, he was a college lecturer, professor, and he became a Christian. So he would post some just thoughts on Facebook. From that, a mob was whipped up. They tried to destroy the home. Thankfully, we were able to get the family to safety. He was arrested. He's been in jail since last June on charges of blasphemy. Lawyers don't want to represent him. Thankfully, we've been able to hire several lawyers to try and represent him. Judges were not even allowing bail for him. They were keeping him in jail. The family, they have two young boys, so they've been living in our shelter all this time. We've been able to get them registered into a local school and just trying to provide for them so that they can endure the persecution and have a faith strong enough to withstand the current persecution and to survive so that they can move on to another village and hopefully one day live freely as Christians.
When you say that maybe 360 million, maybe as many as 360 million human beings around the world who are Christians are in hot spots or in places where it's dangerous to be a Christian, in some ways, is that perhaps because of the growth of the Church of Jesus Christ? I mean, some of the examples you've given sound like these are people who were converted from one religion into Christianity, and the people from the previous religion, whether it's Buddhism or Islam, they don't like that, and so they're going after these Christians, you know, in effect trying to get them back to their own fold.
Yeah, that's right. And in large areas of the world, it is because Christianity is growing, because Jesus Christ is attractive, particularly to people who are living in oppressive cultures of domination. And learning about the freedom in Jesus Christ is so attractive that they're even willing to face this kind of persecution. But there are also regions of the world in which Christianity has deep and long ancient roots, like you mentioned, in Egypt and other parts of the Middle East. And so these Christians who have an ancient faith also are facing extreme persecution as radical, particularly Islamism. So the radical forms of Islam are spreading throughout the world. That's even having an impact in places like Sri Lanka. Now, Sri Lanka is a majority Buddhist country, and Christianity is growing. Evangelicalism is growing in Sri Lanka. And so the predominant longstanding problem that evangelicals face is from Buddhist monks who will invade church services, worship services, start beating the pastors and destroy the church. But the most sadly infamous case of persecution in Sri Lanka occurred at the hands of Islamists. So Muslims are a minority in Sri Lanka, but several of them went over to the Middle East, were trained by ISIS, came back, and blew up three churches on Easter Day in 2019, which is rather strange if you think about it from a natural standpoint. ISIS says is their goal is to create a caliphate, complete domination over regions so that they're the ruling government. And so you would think that in a place like Sri Lanka, they would be going after the majority religion, which would be Buddhism. No, instead, they went after the Christians. And that really shows that this is a spiritual battle that Christians are wrapped up in.
It's almost as if churches are like among the biggest target around. I mean, we even see now, and I'm not going to put this on the same level at all, but even in the last half a year in America, we've seen, what, more than 100 churches were attacked because of the pro-life issue. You know, in other words, the pro-abortion forces were upset, especially Catholic churches in particular. But it's almost as if churches are the most likely building to be attacked these days.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, we see that around the world in these regions of high persecution, that it's the Christians and the symbols of Christianity, the churches and say even like Christian schools that will be attacked. And so what's happening in these other countries are like the canary in the coal mine for us here in the United States. The kinds of tactics that are used to persecute and pressure Christians to leave their faith, we're seeing those same kinds of tactics occurring here in the United States. As you mentioned, the attacks on churches. We also see Christians who take a bold stand for Christ on the very hot topics of the day. As Martin Luther said many, many years ago, that if you are not speaking out on the most pressing issue of the day, the one which the devil is attacking at that very moment, then you are not preaching the gospel. And so Christians in America who are standing up on these issues that have a biblical foundation are finding themselves the target of persecution, for example, being fired from jobs, not being accepted into, say, medical school for those who reveal that they are pro-life. And so, yeah, I think it's very important for us in the United States to recognize these tactics that are happening in other countries so that then we can stand up united on behalf of Christians here in the United States as well, who are facing these points of pressure to deny Christ.
Okay, we have 1 minute left. Give us some hope. Give us some good news here. And I'll give you a website again. It's christianfreedom.org. Wendy Wright, give us good news.
Well, I say as well, the persecuted Christians around the world give us good news. And as we see them endure these extreme forms of persecution with rejoicing, and they continue to meet in their churches, even when the churches are destroyed, they'll meet in an open field. What an example that is for us in the United States. We can help give them hope as we stand alongside them and as they're enduring. But they also give us role models so that we can also stand strong as one body in Christ.
Okay. And so when it's all said and done, again, Christ is building his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And so in effect, what we're seeing is the devil's backlash against the growth of the church. 20 seconds.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And, I think that's actually an excellent point because it points out the reason why the devil is attacking is because the kingdom of God is growing. And, so really the Lord's Prayer is such a phenomenal one for us to rely on each day that may his will be done, may his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.
ChristianFreedom.org, Wendy Wright. Thank you so much, Wendy. All the best.
Thank you.